Glory to God. God is good. Being the third generation missionary, especially being this grandson of Dale West, is really a privilege. If I could choose to be a grandson of such a wonderful man, I couldn't have chosen a better one. I was born into it. That's the grace of God. Some of you weren't born into the family. Sorry, you missed out. It's a wonderful family, wonderful heritage. I love it. I praise God for that. Cut off the small talk and get down to business. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Came here to preach, not to talk. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 24 to the end. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 to the end. Says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do want to thank you so much for this day, for your blessings, for your care, your watch care over us, and each and every day that we are you give us to live, to give you honor and glory. We do pray, Father, that you bless this evening. Bless both my message and the next one, Father. May your will be done in our lives. May we open our hearts to you. May we be able to learn something tonight, Father, from you and from your word. Lord, give me the words that are needed. We praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I read this the other day, and it struck me. It struck me that the first three words it says, and the servant of the Lord. And the servant of the Lord. I love that. The servant of the Lord. First of all, do you consider yourself a servant? We don't usually consider ourselves servants. But we are servants of the Lord. We are here to do His will. We are here to do what He wants us to do, not what we want. I just have a couple of things I wanted to think about you in this first part. What is required of a servant? What does God require us as servants to do His will, His calling? What does God require? A servant should always be ready to work. Right? Should always be ready to work. A servant is there to serve. Not to serve himself, but to serve the master. Even if you're in a home where there, back in the days there were servants, there always was a person there to work. He was called to work. They rang a bell or whatever it was, he came. He was ready to work, not ready to be sloughing off, not ready to sit on the couch and do nothing. He was ready to work, or else he lost his job, or more, depending on the person. Now, this is just what God requires. He requires a servant to work. Are you ready to work? Are you ready when God calls you, say, okay, I'm ready. I'm going. You call me, I go. Yes? Sometimes He calls you, say, not now. Bad timing. Maybe later. Call me in about a year from now. Maybe I'll be in a place where I'm ready to actually serve you. No. If He calls, go. If He says work, work. If He says serve me, serve Him. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to cut it. If He says do it, do it. He's the master. Too often we say, and it's just funny, we say, no, Lord. That's funny. Those are words that a servant back in the days, whenever there were servants, if he said that, he'd lost probably his life. No, don't you say no to me. My son doesn't say no to me. If he does, he gets a spanking for it. No is not a part of the vocabulary for me. With my son, what do you think is with God? What does God think of no? What does God think when you say not now, maybe later? I think He's displeased with us. I think He says, what a shame. I call you, I save you from eternal hell, and what do you say? I want you to work for me. You say no, maybe later. I'm sorry. That's just not what God wants you to do. A servant must be ready to work. Looking, if you will, in the Proverbs, I found this verse. It's a really interesting verse. Real quick, Proverbs 18. Verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Are you a great waster? What a waste when God calls and we do nothing. That's a great waste. You have the ability, you have a calling, you have something that God thinks is good for the gospel, and you say, no. What a great waste. He that is slothful, lazy, is a brother to him that is a great waste. Ouch. Don't be a great waste. Don't waste what God has given you. Don't waste the calling. Do something. Go. Work. Be a servant. Serve. Do the will of God. But do something. Do what God calls you to do. Don't be a great waster. Are you a servant only when you feel like it? I feel like serving today, so I'll be a servant. No, tomorrow maybe not. I have a different opinion about that. No. If you're a servant, you're a servant to the day you die. We are here as servants to the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes back, until we meet Him in glory. That's our calling, brothers and sisters. There's no way to cut it any other way. If He saved you, He called you to serve Him. Moses served Him to the day he died, and when he died, he gave Joshua. He said, you take over now. I did my duty, I did what I could, now you're the servant of the Lord. You do what God called me to do, and you lead Him on. He called you. If you're here today, saint, He called you to do something. He called you to preach. He called you to teach. He called you to do something for His will. Be a servant. Be a servant. That is what we are. We have an obligation as His servants to work for Him. What are you doing for Him today? As Christians, as born-again believers, what are you doing for Him today? If you have nothing you can say tangible that I am doing, this is what I do, this is my ministry, then you start better thinking about something you can do. I know you can do something. I know they go out every day and pass out tracts. I know at least every Sunday. I know there's something you can do. You can pass out tracts. You can do something. That's the easiest thing to do. Just say, here you go, have a tract. Have a nice day. Read the Word of God. It doesn't take much. It just takes a little bit of effort. But are you serving? What are you doing for Him? The next thing, first of all, a servant should be ready to work. Next thing, as I was thinking about it, was a servant should always be near when his master is calling. If a master calls and you're way out in the field, you're not going to hear his calling. He's going to scream and scream and scream, and you're going to be oblivious to what he's saying. You have no idea that he's calling you. You have to be near. You have to be in a place where you're ready to work. Ready, you're saying, okay, Lord, I know I shouldn't be over there. I know I shouldn't be wasting my time. And it'll be right here next to you. When you call, I'm here ready and waiting. I'm waiting for your calling. How close are you to God? How close are you to be able to hear His calling? When He calls you, how close are you? Oh, brothers and sisters, we should be so close, we just have to whisper. I want you to work over there. Okay, I'm going, Lord. That's my place. That's where I want to go. That's what we should be doing. He shouldn't have to say, hey, get over here. That's why Psalms 23. He is our shepherd. He keeps us in line. He should be. Sometimes we forget about that. Are you close enough that when He calls you, you're there? He doesn't have to go looking for you. He just turns around. Oh, you're the person I'm looking for. I want you to do that. Okay. It's done. I'll take care of it. Sometimes we're so far away, we don't even hear His calling. A servant has to be near to hear his master. A servant should be able to listen. You know how many times we get caught up in so many things that we just don't listen? We get caught up in our careers, in our families, and everything. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when God calls, we shouldn't be distracted. We shouldn't be talking. We shouldn't be thinking about something else. We say, okay, what is my purpose on this earth? It's not to work and have a wonderful career and work my way up a line. That's not the purpose of me being here. My purpose is to preach. My purpose is to go out and preach to those who are lost. There are so many people who don't have what you have. They have the careers. They have that. They don't have the best thing in life. They don't have salvation, which you have. And you're wasting it. You're wasting your opportunities. Like we saw in Proverbs, a great waster. Don't waste that opportunity. Use that opportunity. Preach. Listen to when God calls. You know, that's one of the biggest problems that I think women have against us men. That we just don't listen. Now, they always say, you just don't listen to me, huh? What did you say? And we dig ourselves in holes quite often. But that's our problem. We just don't listen. We're so caught up in our own little, I don't know, we're hobbies, our own little world, that we forget that there is a whole different world. Maybe right outside our door could be a whole different world for you, and you're just so oblivious to that, you just don't even see it. That there's a family across the street, that the cops come every other night to split up the family, to say, stop fighting against yourselves. When all the problem is, they don't have the Word of God. They don't fear God the way you fear God. At least you should. If you're not preaching, you're not fearing God the way you should be. He tells you, preach to those. Tell them about the gospel. They're there. Right outside your door. Millions. Seeking. And if you don't tell them, where are they going to know it from? You may have the only opportunity, the only person to preach to them. There are some people who have a job where you're the only person that you could reach to them. The only one. There are so many different opportunities. I had a wonderful opportunity in Poland in December. I teach English in a private school. I have a professor. She invited me to her college to teach a lesson on morality and ethics. At an hour and a half, right in Polish, I stood there in front of 25 students who are older than me, teaching about morality and ethics. And the whole entire time, I had my Bible open. And every one of them had the Bibles. I brought Bibles, and I handed them out. The teacher was there, just sat there and just had no problem with that. I handed out Bibles and tracts and everything else. It was wonderful. But there's nobody else really who had that contact with that lady to teach that lesson. If I hadn't done it, who would have done it? Now I have an opportunity to go back next semester. She wants me to go back again. That means you had to be willing to work, willing to do something uncomfortable. That was my first time ever in college. And I went there as a teacher. I went there as a teacher. And I was teaching them about morality and ethics. And I'm younger than them. But you know what? It was a wonderful, God-blessed experience for me. And it was the teacher afterwards, she asked that with 15 minutes and talked to her about her salvation. You know, there are so many opportunities that we have that nobody else could do it. And we jump the ball. We don't do anything that we could. We can, if we want to. If you want to be servants. If you want to do something for the Lord, you can find something. It'll come to you at your door. It'll be there. If you're willing to listen, willing to work, willing to be, you're willing to be close enough to God to say, okay, I'm ready to hear your calling. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Who do you want me to preach to? It's there. They're there, people. Brothers and sisters, they're there. I wonder how many times God calls us. I wonder how many times He calls us and we're so far away that we didn't hear Him, and we lost opportunity, and someone died and went to hell. Have you thought about that? Because of you being either too busy, some other things are more important, and God called, and someone had to die and go to hell because you didn't have the chance to. You weren't willing. That's a shame. When a master calls his servant, he doesn't want the servant to say, I'll be right there after I finish this project. I have a project to finish and I'll be there in a sec. No. Come. Now. Come to me. Now. We would all agree that a person who, if a servant said that to his master, he would lose his job, right? Luckily for us, we're not going to lose our salvation because we don't go. But we lose a great blessing. We lose something more greater than these people. It just, I don't think I can explain it exactly. I'm going to backtrack a little second. You could set up treasures in heaven for yourself. You could say, Lord, I'm working for you, doing something for you, and laying up treasures in heaven. Because I'm doing your will. Doing what you asked me to do.
Are you a servant? If you are, do something. If God called you, work. Are you willing?
If you go back to our text in 2 Timothy. There's only two speakers. How much time does that give me? I'm asking you honestly. I'm honestly asking. I didn't quite ask. I always over prepare. Okay. Kiss it. Yes, sir. I'll try. In our text, chapter 2, 2 Timothy 24, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. We already got the first part about the servant of the Lord. But it said it must not strive. Do you know what strife in the dictionary actually means? Argue. Quarrel. How many times when we preach the gospel, we argue with the people? Instead of preach. Instead of teach. Instead of being loving. And we argue. We quarrel with them. You know, here he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. There should be no strife in us when we are preaching the gospel. There should be no hatred. And as I understand, when I teach what the difference between argument and there's two things. When we argue and when we converse. A conversation. Yes, we don't have a conversation. We have an argument. My wife and I always have conversations at home. We don't argue. We have conversations. We have pleasant conversations. Yeah, right. Exactly. But that is a problem. That is a big problem for those of us who when we preach the gospel, I've noticed, and even to myself, we try to win the argument. We're there to just try to beat them and put them down and say, you're wrong, I'm right, God is right. That's fine. But we don't do it in the right spirit. We don't do it in the right spirit to win them. The whole idea is not to win the argument. The whole idea is to win the soul. You can lose the argument. And that person go home and think, you know what? He was right. He preached the gospel. I'm wrong. And that person comes to the realization himself. The word of God was taught. And then he goes home and then the word of the Lord works in his heart. That's how it works. It's not our words. God never said, I'll bless your arguments. I'll bless what you think. I'll bless your good perspectives on life and how you explain things in your own words. That's not what he said to bless. He said, my word will never return unto me void. My word, he said. Not your word. His word will never return unto him void. If you preach his word. Too often we preach what we think. Our little allegories, our little thoughts. What we have come up over the years. Forget those. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's what's important. This is where it is. This is where life is. This is where you found it. That's when you got saved, I know for sure that there was someone who didn't just talk to you about what they think you should do. They told you out of the word of the Lord, and it touched you and worked in your heart. What's the difference? It'll work in their heart. It just preach it. Preach it. Do what God says. In verse 23, in our text, it says something interesting. We go one verse before. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And this is why Paul writes, servant of the Lord should not strive. He says, don't answer stupid questions. How many times do we fall into the trap of answering stupid questions?
Well, how can God create a rock that is too heavy for him to lift?
And we actually fall into the trap and say, well, of course God can, but you know, well, he can. Well, he's a man. He's omnipotent. Can't he do that? And yeah, he can't. That, what does that lead to? Nothing. Foolishness, and that's just ridiculous. Leads to nothing. Avoid those. But too often we fall into that trap of answering foolish questions. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Remember that? Be careful when talking. When you're preaching and giving them the gospel, be careful what the question. Not every question demands an answer. Sometimes just avoid it and get right back on track with the gospel. Avoid that thing. You know what? Let's leave that for someone who's smarter than me. I'll just preach you the gospel. I'll just tell you what I know. Well, I'll just tell you what I have learned. I don't know about all that other stuff, that deep stuff. I'll just tell you what God has taught me, what I have known in the Bible. This is what I'll teach you. This is what I'll show you. Avoid stupid questions, knowing that they do gender stripes. And that's the whole thing. The devil just wants you to argue. He doesn't want the gospel preached. He wants you to be argued. He wants you to debate. Well, should we do this? Shouldn't we do that? Is this moral? Is this not? That's all good in its own time. But if this is a person you're trying to win, preach the gospel. You're not going to win by debating with them about every single thing under the sun. That's not how you're going to win them. Preach Christ crucified. Preach Christ crucified, and you'll see the effect of it. Maybe not now, maybe not in your lifetime. But you'll have a blessing by doing what God has told you to do and preaching His word. And believe me, He said His word will not return unto Him void. That's a promise. That's a promise. It will come to Him. It will be a blessing to you. Amen? That's great. Preach His word. If you keep on going in that verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Gentle. Do we handle things gently? Think about picking up a newborn baby. You don't pick it up any old way. You gotta be careful. If it's a newborn, you gotta know this baby's neck could break if I pick it up in the wrong way. You gotta be gentle. Too often we approach a person with zealous. That's good. That's great. Sometimes overzealous. Sometimes we just get close to the person and you don't know the gospel. You don't know about Christ. You're gonna go to hell. We start just being overzealous, and sometimes that works. Sometimes that works. But not all the time. You gotta be gentle unto all men. You gotta think, approach the person with an open mind. Willing to listen to them. They have problems like you had problems. You wanted someone to listen to you when you were not saved. You wanted to talk to someone, converse. You have wanted someone to answer your questions. And you sometimes have good questions. They sometimes will too. Just listen. Just listen. Being gentle unto all men. That's very important, I think. That's very important. Be careful when dealing with ones that you're trying to convert. Be careful. Don't just approach a situation and just punch right into everything. Slowly work into it. There's a system to it. Christ didn't, when you hear him preaching and talking to people, he didn't get right into the deep core of everything. He slowly, systematically worked his way into them and taught them. Taught them with love. I think that's a problem we don't have. We don't have enough love for these people. We know that we should preach, and that's great. You preach. You preach the word. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that does work sometimes. When you scare someone into it. That's great. Sometimes that works, but not all the time. You gotta be gentle. Meek, as you hear he says later on. But he says, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Are you able to teach? Are you able to sit down with someone and systematically show them the gospel? Do you know your word, the word of the Lord, so well that someone asks you a question, you're right there. Here's what God says. Apt to teach. See, a teacher has to know what he's teaching. I would be a horrible math teacher. I would be a horrible teacher. I was a horrible math student, so I would be a horrible math teacher. I would not be able to teach that. But you ask me about history, I love history. I love history. I've been out of that for a while, but if you ask me about some things about the Bible, I have some answers. Not all the answers, but I have some answers. I'm able to teach someone and show them the Word of God. Are you able to? Are you apt to teach? Are you willing? Are you able to teach? I think that's very important for all of us, from young and old. No matter what age you are, what sex you are you able to teach? There are people who have questions. And be ready at all times as to give someone an answer. Now, it's very important. Apt to teach. Patient. That's important. Very important. Patient. How patient are we with the people we deal with? How patient? You see, these things are so important. Why? Because later on we see in verse 25, it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. There are people who oppose themselves to God. If you don't handle things right, You will not win them. You actually do the opposite. And they'll go deeper into the darkness, and you won't win them if you don't handle it the right way. Opposing is God peradventure will give them repentance. That's what we're looking for. We're looking to preach the gospel if God wills that He gives them repentance. We want God to give them repentance. It's not us. We're not giving them repentance. We're just preaching His word. If God peradventure, if God wills. I looked that up. This is very important. Very important to me to look up some of these words. Peradventure. What does that actually mean? Peradventure. I have the definition here somewhere. I know I do. And there it is. It may be. It may be. Maybe. Possibly. God will do it. See, it's all in God's hands. But we have to put it in God's hands. If they don't have the Word of God in their heart, it's our responsibility to put that seed in there. Then He plants it. That's when it starts. It's our responsibility to do, to preach, to go. To do what God has sermons, to do what God wants us to do. What else? I'm trying to finish up. So the acknowledging of the truth. We want them to acknowledge the truth that they're wrong and He's right. That they're going the wrong direction and His way is the right way. That's what we want them to come to the knowledge of, right? We want them to come and say, you know what? I've been wrong this whole time. I've been lost. Now I see the truth. Now I see that you're right. What you're preaching to me is the right way. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man is coming up to the Father but by Jesus Christ. That's what we want them to do. Not say, you know what, any way will get you there. That's not truth. That's a lie. We want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want them to do that. But we have to do something. We have to preach and give them the word. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Oh, there's so many people in the snare of the devil. So many people that are just, and they want them to recover themselves. Isn't it interesting how the word of the Lord uses certain phrases, recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. They're trapped. You were trapped one time. Luckily, praise God, someone came along and preached the gospel and set you free. Jesus Christ was preaching to you and you are free. Free at last. And God is the one who did it. And you can have the opportunity to preach someone else and let them be free. Let them to say, I'm unshackled. No longer am I bound to this sin. No longer am I in this world. I am now a new creature. And you can be part of that. You can have a blessing and be that person to say, praise the Lord Jesus. He worked through me. He used me. I was a vessel of honor unto Him. And He used me. You can be that too today if you so will. If you want to be a servant. Serve the Lord today. Amen. God wants you to serve. He loves you as much as He loves them. Serve the Lord. Hear, be close, and listen. Amen.